Ready. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald. It's February 16th, 2007. Today, the commission is going to be holding an informal hearing on case number PU05504, Montana Dakota Utilities Company Interruptible Electric Service Rates Tariff. And we have a memo from staff, but before we get to that, we do want to have an opportunity to hear the proposal on this, on these interruptible electric service rates from Montana Dakota Utilities. And we have several people in the room who are here who are interested in commenting on the proposal as well. So I'd also like to introduce my fellow commissioner, Commissioner Tony Clark. Go ahead, Tony. Any welcoming comments?
I'd just like to welcome everyone here today. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, MDU, with your summary of the proposal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm so sorry, I didn't do this before. Perhaps for the people who are on the telephone, it would be helpful for them to know who's in the room participating in the hearing. And also for us to find out who is on the phone. So before we go any farther, we've had introductions from myself and Commissioner Clark. Staff, if you'll introduce yourself first.
Jerry Leon from staff.
Patrick Fawn from staff.
Tom Rafferty from staff.
Bill Benning, staff.
All right, and then we have also with us from MDU, if you'll introduce your people. Tammy Aberle is
Tammy
here.
Tammy Aberle with MDU.
Larry Oswald with MDU.
Dan Kuntz, MDU.
Don Ball, MDU.
Rita Mulkern, Montana, Dakota.
All right, and then we have several people from other agencies and businesses, if they'll introduce themselves.
Kim Christensen with the North Dakota Department of Commerce State Energy Office.
Mike Fry with Energy Services Group.
Bill Heather, Department of Commerce Energy Office. Wayne Durick, MedCenter One.
Mm-hmm. And then on the telephone with us is?
Alvin Binstock and Dave Folk from Dickinson State University.
All right, thank you. Okay, now I think.
We also have some MDU.
Okay, if the folks from MDU on the phone will also identify themselves.
In the Dickinson office, for MDU, we have Rick Backus, Glenn Singer, and Craig Lowstreeter.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the phone? Okay, now I think we've taken care of all the preliminaries. Now I think we're ready for MDU to go through its proposal.
Thank you, commissioners. This is Tammy Eberle again with Montana Dakota. The proposal before you reflects changes from the original filing that we made back in 2005 with regard to interruptible rates. My comments today are going to focus on the filing that we made in December of 2006. And the reason, a couple of reasons for those changes was to reflect customer input and today's power supply environment. As predicted, the loss of the company's AVS2 contract has resulted in significant interruptions under the current interruptible service rate 39. And in analyzing the services to be provided, we determined the first to look at the objectives of the rates that we are offering. And if I'd given some handouts rather than going through a PowerPoint presentation, and that's what I've provided to you. In looking at the objectives of an IT rate, first was to provide an opportunity for peak reduction and capacity accreditation by using customer-installed generation. Also, to provide offset to higher market energy prices. And really, the crux of both of those proposals then is to provide a cost-effective mechanism for all customers, both participants and non-participants. Just to start with a little background, our current rate 39 reflects a demand differential from the general service rate 30 of about $2.75 in the winter and $6 in the summer. The energy differential that is reflected in that service schedule is about a half a cent off of the general service rate 30 primary rate.
I have a question on the demand differential. Is that basically a capacity?
Our demand component is, reflective of capacity and both capacity delivered to the system and distribution system capacity costs. And this differential is really the effective difference between those two rate schedules as they exist today.
Okay. So the two rate schedules are, you have a different rate in the winter than you do in the summer. I understand.
Under
that.
Rate 30, we do,
under
yes.
Under rate 30. Okay, and so rate 39 then subtracts an additional, subtracts 274.
Or actually, the rate 39, I'm describing the existing rate 39 service
okay.
schedule, and that has a flat demand charge
okay.
associated with it. It's really, it's a rate that's been in place for a number of years. And this is just describing the differences
okay.
between
Thank
those
you.
Two. Under that rate 39 service schedule as it exists today, there's an unlimited hours are available for interruption. And we are seeing an increase in interruptions required. It's caused by required market purchases at higher energy costs. And another key point under the current rate 39, the penalty for non-performance by a customer is equal to all savings that they have garnered under that rate schedule from the start of the contract. So this increase in hours interrupted and the company's objective to use an interruptible service tier more for peak reduction caused us to do two things. The first was to file a new rate 38, which we have is related to peak demand reduction only. And we also have proposed revisions to rate 39 as it exists today, which is really more likened to a demand energy resource to contain an interruption limit. So if we look at first the peak demand reduction rate 38, under that proposed rate, we would be paying customers a $2.50 per kWh credit based on kWh billed. And this rate schedule then would be focused on the peaking interruption purposes, so it'd be available for interruption during our peaking periods and emergency purchases. The energy would be priced at our primary service rate 30 schedule. On the hours, there would be a limit of 100 hours available for interruption under that peak demand reduction. We've also proposed a penalty for non-performance equal to $10 per kWh or the penalty imposed by the Midwest Reliability Organization if that penalty were greater. Excuse me. The $2.50 credit.
Tammy, can I ask, how is the penalty proposed to be recovered? How's the penalty proposed to be recovered? Is it in a future bill that it just gets tacked on? Or?
Yes, it would be, you know, similar to our gas interruptions. That's probably okay. The best example I have. But, you know, if we've called a customer to interrupt and they're unable to do so, it would be based on the their demand at that time that they were supposed to be off of the system.
Okay, and that just gets tacked on there.
Yes.
Next billing statement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the $2.50 kWh credit was established by looking at the values associated with incremental capacity. So we tried to look at the current capacity contract that we have in place, which was looking at, this is a 1 to 5 year term of a capacity contract, and really what the MRO, or the Midwest Reliability Organization penalty is, which would be the ceiling of those two components. We believe the $2.50 credit recognizes the potential cost to be avoided, and we would recognize that also by paying that to the customer each month to be available. So it would not be based on when we interrupt. It would be a credit that was payable to them each and every month. Now, on the revised rate 39, which we have...
Has there been any... Is part of the issue been, as you've been trying to come up to for a new proposal, was part of it... has part of it been the amount of the deduction? Have people been in dispute about the amount of the deduction?
I think it was in more general terms looking at savings that to be gained under the rate schedule. So either the credit, the dollar value of the credit, or the hours of interruption are really the two variables in terms of a customer's economics.
Right, the 100 hours.
Yes.
That you've come up with.
Which I don't believe the 100 hours has been a contentious issue. It recognizes, again, that summer peaking and the fewer hours that we would need for emergency
has
purposes.
Has the $2.50 been a contentious issue as well?
No, I would say not. I mean, it's a dollar value, that, of course, that we've discussed and talked about. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
So now turning to rate 39, which we chose to leave in place but revise, really two primary drivers was to limit the available interruption hours and to revise the penalty. So as filed before you today, we've proposed an minor increase in the energy charge from 2.722 cents to 2.9 cents. We have added a limit of interruptible hours of 500, which would allow us to interrupt that rate based on MISO energy market prices and during peaking conditions, which is the primary use of that rate today. And we have proposed a penalty the same as that under rate 38, $10 per kW, or the penalty imposed by the MRO if greater. And that next slide, we're providing a comparison based on a typical customer that would this rate would be available to, either rate. They're based on 500 kW connected credit. Connected demand. And as you can see, the savings and what we're showing here are the savings available to the customer on various demand load levels. Under the two rates are essentially the same, based on 100 hours and the $2.50 credit, or the 500 hours under rate 39. It does provide customers the opportunity, if they choose to take service under rate 39 and interruptible hours don't prove to be up to 500, there would be additional savings that they would accrue in that particular year.
Go ahead, Tony.
Do you have any idea what these MRO penalties could end up being? Do you have examples of past ones that would have been over $10 per kilowatt hour?
Yes.
And how often does that get hit?
The MRO penalty would be really if we exceeded our 15% capacity reserve margin. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't often. I mean, right. It's very limited. It was primarily a means to say if we've accredited, we get a number of customers taking service under this rate, we've accredited that, and that's part of our reserve margin.
How many times did you hit that, exceed the capacity in the last year?
None.
2 years?
I believe probably 4 years ago.
Was that the last one?
I think that was the last one. So we think it's...
And how stiff are those penalties when they...
It can be, I believe they adjust those... I think biannually. Right now it's at $96,000 or $8 per kW is okay. Easier.
And that's only, they would only be assessed that if they don't disconnect during that time, but you still go over your capacity.
Correct. And it would be only if that particular customer, if it was at a time, those
right.
penalties are going to be during those peaking conditions. And if that customer contributed to that penalty. Again, I liken it to our gas system. We do the same. If the pipeline penalty, if there is some action or inaction by that customer causes a pipeline penalty, we do have the authority to pro rata pass that penalty along. And that would be the same in this case.
Tell me, if you can explain to me a little more, 38 and 39. If I were a customer who had 500 kilowatts or more of interruptible load, then I can sign up for this. Otherwise, I can't. Is that
That's correct. And that is the current limit that we have today under rate 39.
Okay, so then just so that I figure this out, all right, so then I have to make a decision whether rate 38 or rate 39 is best for me. I don't sign up for both.
No, you would choose one or the other, and really it would depend on what your fuel costs are. These fuel costs are set at under this analysis at $2.50 per gallon. If assuming most of the generators that we're looking at right now are diesel generators.
These are the ones that they have to supply the power when they're interrupted. Is that what you're?
Yes. Yeah, so that's their running cost.
Their running cost, okay.
Would be at, under this analysis, we're assumed to be $2.50 per gallon. So under the 500 hours, of course, they're going to have significant more fuel costs associated with that service. But
okay, so what this is calculating is the cost it's going to be for the company who chooses to participate in one of these tariffs to run their own generators for either 100 hours if they were interrupted for the time they're interrupted by rate 38 at, let's say, 500 kilowatts, or if they had up to 5 megawatts. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. And then the cost it would be for them to but that doesn't make sense.
These
I'm missing something else.
These are the savings,
to
the customer.
To the customer.
So it takes
and
into
these
account.
These are the savings to the customer, not just their costs. This is the savings to the customer if they, and based on the $2.50 per kilowatt hour of interruptible that they would have from the existing rate on 38 and having the deduction on rate 39.
Yes.
And as compared to the rate 30?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Compared to rate 30.
If I'm willing to interrupt for 500 hours, which is more than the 100 hours, why shouldn't I expect greater savings? Why shouldn't I expect that I would be able to save more money and help MDU more?
The primary, the 100 hours is the peaking condition.
I know, but so is the 500.
Well, it really is the balance. I mean, it isn't providing us an incremental savings above what the rate 39 as it exists today is. As we looked at in one of those first slides, we are paying a significant amount more for that customer to be available to us. So those savings as compared to their fuel costs, if we would provide additional credit under this scenario, it really causes other customers to start picking up that differential. So we, in addition to this, we look at what's the break even for other customers. So if we're paying too much for that service, there really is no net benefit to the non-participant customers.
Maybe Jerry can help me.
The customer is paying $2.50 a gallon
for its own fuel
to run that diesel generator. So
right.
If he has to run that diesel generator for 500 hours, it's going to cost him a lot more in fuel than it will for 100 hours. And I don't think we want to, from MDU's perspective, we really don't want to be paying for more diesel generation, at least not paying the energy costs for that. So I guess I'm saying that all in all, it seems like the 100-hour interruption thing is a better deal for everybody.
Madam Chairman, this is Dickinson State University. It's very difficult to hear individuals who are not close to a mic. We ask that they approach the speaker, please.
Yes. Jerry, do you want to repeat your comments?
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. I was saying that under the 500 hours, the customer's savings are less because he's had to spend a lot more on the diesel fuel to run his generator for 500 hours. And from a societal perspective, the total amount you're spending is probably less if you can use that diesel generator less. So the 100 kilowatt hours or the 100 hours of diesel generation being used is probably better for everybody concerned.
Are we thinking that there's only a limited number of hours when demand side management is really important, and that's 100 hours in a year versus 500 hours?
Well, there's really two purposes of the rate, Commissioner, and one is focusing on those peak demand and saying that that 100 hours will cover those capacity requirements during the peak. When you rate 39 as it's designed today, really is energy and capacity. There isn't additional value by providing additional hours. Really, the break even, so that savings are can be shown to the other customers. They shouldn't be paying more for someone taking this rate than they are for us going out and purchasing and meeting their energy and capacity requirements in the typical fashion or the supply side way.
So rate 39 is energy driven, 38 is more capacity.
It really, yes. Rate 39 mm-hmm. is by the virtue of the fact that, and it has a lot of history associated with it. So when we revised this rate, we didn't really look at what are the true, those cost components as they exist today. Even in the last rate case, we kind of set rate 39 aside because of customers that were on the rate at the time and impacts associated with really moving what we felt was more toward a cost-based rate. Now, the conditions have changed, and so with the interruptions, it is providing customers the other non-participating customers' mm-hmm. benefits. But if we would continue at the rate that was required by the rate, customers simply can't take advantage. The generators themselves, no matter what we're going to pay them, are really not designed to run for those amount of hours.
All right.
So it's a balance in trying to determine an appropriate credit to both show benefit to the non-participating customers and enough to allow customers that have generation available. Neither of these rates would fund a new generator, but they would, in the event that the customer has generation in place, provide them an opportunity for some cost savings while providing us the benefit through the accredited capacity.
Now, we do have some. Is there anything else that MDU wishes to share about this at this time?
That is it. Just would request approval of those, what we believe are two options available to customers.
And then if we do have a number of people here, and it really does help the commission to hear comments from the folks who are here so that we can have an understanding of why you're here and to have an understanding of, as you were looking at this rate of this tariff, what some of your thoughts were about it and why you're interested enough to come today to the commission meeting. So if there's anyone either on the phone or here with us in the room that would just like to share any general thoughts or specific thoughts they have about either one of these tariffs, the commission would welcome that input.
Madam Chairman, members of the commission, if I may, this is Alvin Binstock with Dickinson State University.
Hi, Alvin, and thank you. We can hear you very well.
I had planned on being there in person today, but the weather didn't cooperate, so I appreciate Jerry setting us up with his phone connection. If I may give you some background relative to Dickinson State's involvement with this activity today, I'll just read you a statement, if I may. Realizing the potential to reduce costs associated with the consumption of energy, utilizing the performance contract methodology established by the North Dakota Legislature, Dickinson State University, with assistance provided by Mr. Darren Scherer, the state energy engineer with the North Dakota Department of Commerce, entered into an agreement with the Energy Services Group to perform an energy audit in an effort to identify methodologies to conserve energy and or identify other means by which to reduce costs associated with the consumption of energy. One option for energy savings consisted of installing a 2,000 kilowatt diesel power generator on campus, which then qualified the university for reduced electrical rates under the North Dakota Public Service Commission's approved interruptible large power rate 39. The consultants estimated that the capital investment in support of the generator, totaling $555,000, could be paid for in approximately 11 years. Dickinson State University, upon reviewing the terms of Rate 39, struggled with the decision to install the generator system, having concerns with what is an exorbitant penalty clause for failure to interrupt service upon request. Basically, that penalty amounts to any of the savings that you've incurred to the point of non-interrupting. In our case, it could be up to 4 years of savings. And our ability to derive a comfort level relative to the frequency and duration of potential interruptions. Upon analyzing the historical frequency and duration of the interruption pattern of MDU relative to Rate 39, and interpreting contractual language relative to system maintenance, specifically stating, quote, that customers shall not schedule normal maintenance work during the months of July and August, which are typically companies' peak load months, Dickinson State University then decided that the risk-benefit scenario was such that a generator should be part of the performance contracting measures. The generator system was installed, and effective January 2005, the institution began receiving electrical service under Rate 39. The commencement of an arrangement that we felt would be mutually beneficial to both Dickinson State University and Montana Dakota Utilities. Dickinson State would receive a rate reduction with the probability of realizing annual savings, while MDU would benefit by having a means online by which to address peak loads without making additional capital investments in their infrastructure. From January 2005 through August 2006, the institution's service was interrupted infrequently, addressing peak loads primarily related to energy demands associated with the cooling season. In the fall of 2006, primarily September through November, MDU exercised their option to interrupt electrical service to provide an offset to higher market energy prices. This practice was devastating to the institution as we were called upon to run our generator on a regular basis, consuming large volumes of expensive diesel fuel. Recognizing the inability of the institution to sustain the level of expenditure necessary to generate our own power on an ongoing basis, Dickinson State University petitioned MDU to allow the institution to temporarily revert receiving electrical service from MDU under Rate 30 until other options might become available as a result of new tariff rates being filed by MDU, those of which will be under discussion today. At that point, Dickinson State needed to minimize its losses and minimize the wear on the generator due to the increased duration of runtime. MDU granted our request and allowed the institution to revert to operations under Rate 30 effective December 1st, 2006. Some of the concerns we have, first of all, with the high cost of diesel fuel, Dickinson State cannot afford to run the durations of time being imposed by MDU. Secondly, the duration of runtime desired by MDU will negatively affect the longevity and the reliability of the generator, resulting in the potential triggering of a penalty should the system fail to perform. In addition to that, without the potential for adequate overall savings, the capital investment in the generator becomes a liability to the institution and the state of North Dakota. Payback on the investment, if realized, would be years beyond the original projection of 11 years. Some of the observations, it appears that neither of the proposed new tariffs offer any incentive to participate, since it is difficult to recapture the cost of the capital investment within a reasonable time. The previous meeting, St. Alexis and Med Center 1 were both present with and appear to be potential users if hours or runtime were curtailed. Without participation, MDU's need to invest in acquiring new resources and capacity could be substantial, resulting in increased consumer prices in the future. Another observation, although both rate proposals have caps on hours available for interruption, the proposed limitation of interruptible hours set at 500 hours within proposed Rate 39 is excessive. MDU intends to interrupt the full 500 hours annually. Therefore, operational costs to the consumer and generator wear make this proposal unattractive. The cap of 100 hours of interruption under proposed Rate 38 is attractive. However, the increased cost for energy over Rate 39 minimizes savings to the extent that the capital investment becomes difficult to address within a reasonable period of time. In addition, the penalty for non-performance appears to have been lessened from that within the existing rate 39, but remains vague as the same is sensitive and relative to penalties imposed upon MDU by the Midwest Reliability Organization. So once again, it's difficult to ascertain just what potential cost could be for an institution for non-performance. A separate agreement has also been worked out, as we understand, between MDU and the state capitol in an effort to address the same investment, energy rate, and hours of interruption concerns faced by Dickinson State University. With Dickinson State University being the only remaining participant in the interruptible large power service rate 39, we propose that consideration be given to minimize the impact of MDU's movement to interrupt service beyond the need to address peak loads, implementing interruptions to offset higher market energy prices also. There are certainly advantages to the public to have alternative power sources in the community. As evidenced in October 2005, when due to a snowstorm, widespread electrical outage occurred in Dickinson. Dickinson State University's generator enabled the institution to function as an emergency center during the disaster. So with that, members of the commission and others, I hope that gives you a little bit of background, represents some of the concerns that we have relative to the rates, and we'd like to continue dialogue both at this meeting and thereafter to the best we can in getting the savings that we need to realize for Dickinson State University, but also at the same time providing a reliable energy source for MDU.
Thank you for sharing those comments with us. I wonder whether they're in a written document that you could send to the commission as well as reading them.
Yes, they are. I can send them. If it'll be all right, I'll send them to the attention of Jerry Lean since I have his.
That would be just fine, and then they can be docketed in the case.
Thank you.
And I had a question for you, or maybe it's for MDU. The gentleman from Dickinson State mentioned that an agreement has been worked out with the state capitol building. Would that come before our commission as a special contract?
Commissioner, yes, it would.
And so that's not before us today, but it would be coming.
That's correct.
All right. And about how many customers are presently on rates 38 or 39?
38 is a new rate, so there's nobody on rate 38. Rate 39, as of today, we have one customer, American Colloid in Gascoigne, that is still taking service under rate 39.
Only one?
Yes.
And so the other people who are here, for example, in Dickinson State, they used to be on that rate, but they've dropped off?
Oh, it's Dickinson State was on the rate.
Excuse me.
I believe that's, we had, I don't think anyone else represented here was on the rate.
Okay, was the state capitol building on that rate?
No.
No, they were on a special contract.
They were under rate 30, yes.
Oh, they were under rate 30.
There's an agreement with the capitol.
Okay.
But it's not an interruptible rate. Right.
So who was the one customer again?
American Colloid in Gascoigne.
Madam Chairman, I think it's important to recognize that Dickinson State requested off of rate 39 because of the expense of running the generator in support of the number of hours that were being demanded.
Yes.
So from that perspective, we are only not on it at this point in time as a result of our request, and we certainly would entertain looking at one of the rate schedules in order to try to facilitate some of the savings that are necessary to pay off our investment.
Now, the main problem you have with what's being proposed now under rate 38 and 39 is that, just lead me through that. Rate 39 does set a limit on interruptions at 500 hours per year, but you're concerned that that's still too much.
Way excessive as far as the amount of wear and tear on the generator, and once again, the cost of us producing energy over that period of time.
And what would your suggested number of hours be set to limit interruptions to for that?
Be under rate 39, we'd like to see a number in that neighborhood of 150 to 200 hours.
150 to 200 hours. So there's quite a big difference in what's being proposed and what you think is a reasonable number. All right. And then Do you also have a concern about the increase in the kilowatt hours from 2.722 to 2.9 cents per kilowatt hours, or is your main concern the number of hours for interruption?
Main concern there, Madam Chairman, is the number of hours of interruption coupled with the penalty clause that was in existence under the current rate 39.
Okay, now, the proposed rate 39, is there a difference in the penalty clause?
Yes, there is.
There is. And so this is for Dickinson State then. Do you still have a problem with the dollars you would be charged if you didn't interrupt?
It certainly looks to be a lesson and an improvement over the existing rate 39. But once again, as I mentioned, the vagueness of not knowing what that penalty could evolve into is one that provides some concern for us.
And you're concerned that your present generator may not have the ability to run for 500 hours per year. Is that correct?
Well, at present time, with it being relatively new, Madam Chairman, that's not a greatest concern, as the potential for this generator to be in place for 10 or more years. Just like anything else, when it gets more hours on it, the potential for a mechanical system to fail increases.
So at the present time, when it's new, you're not so concerned about that. It's if this tariff was in place for 9 or 10 years, then you're concerned at the length of that time, end of that time, that you could have a problem with the generator being able to respond as needed during those 500 hours per year.
That is correct.
Let me ask MDU a question. With the rate that you proposed for 39, if it wasn't 500 hours, if it was some other number lower than that, would it change the rate that you'd propose to offer?
Yes, it would. Because we've looked at we're trying to balance the benefits to other customers, and we fall below that break-even point when we're purchasing energy at prices significantly higher than the 2.9 cents that we have proposed.
But right.
And so, yes, it would cause a change to the rate components themselves. And as we have over time, as customers have looked at this rate, recognizing that history wasn't always the best indicator, have advised customers that we knew that with the loss of the ABS2 contract that those interruption hours were going to increase.
Do any states that you're aware of, let's say states that are more in favor of demand-side management and having a large amount of demand-side management rather than having to purchase capacity, do any of those states in any way subsidize interruptible load in any way?
I can't answer that. They shouldn't. If they're subsidized, then they could. It's not
sort of defeating the purpose of demand-side management.
I mean, that's why we go through the analysis to determine, in any demand-side management program that we would offer, that it is a net benefit. Again, it's a very general statement, but I think most demand interruptible rates are demand, peak demand driven, and that really fits more with the 100 hours and the rate 38 that we have before you.
Well, the only reason I ask that, and maybe it's not that they're subsidizing them, but it seems to me that many other states, though, have many other companies have considerably more interruptible load than one customer, which is American Coalite. They have many customers who are interruptible customers. So how do they attract people to their interruptible programs if they're exactly the same as this? What are the driving forces that makes those companies choose then to sign up for interruptible load? Because MDU has one of the lowest interruptible loads of any company that I know in the region. So what's the difference here between what you're proposing and what other companies are proposing in our region? That's what I'm interested in finding out. Maybe the word subsidy wasn't the correct way.
Well, I think, it's low prices. We benefit from the low prices in this area, and that then causes less savings for a customer to go to an interruptible rate, perhaps. That is one thing, to compare us to other customers or other companies, excuse me, throughout the country is rates, and the other is also demographics. So we do not have a large number of customers that would even, you know, meet this criteria in really providing accredited capacity in the sense that will provide a benefit to all customers.
Well, even within our region, isn't MDU perhaps even an outlier to XL or Otter Tail? I'm just looking at fuel costs, the monthly fuel costs that we're not passing them through right now, but that we track every month. It seems like MDUs is by far the most stable, and there must be, because it's coal-based and you're less exposure to the market. That's just a guess on, like, maybe why Otter Tail, it's more of an issue with Otter Tail.
With our performance-based rate making, remember those the two companies that we were measuring came in at lowest price utility several years in a row in our whole region, measured against 22 as far as, and that included fuel costs and distribution costs. And they were right at the,
right. But my only point is MDU, I think, seems like there's more in rate base, perhaps, but the fuel costs themselves are very stable, whereas perhaps the other two have lower rate bases, but much more unstable fuel costs.
Do these customers still pay fuel costs in addition to these rates?
Yes. Fuel cost adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious about, to learn a little bit more about why other companies have, I know you're, when you're talking about your, how many customers, but there's got to be some reason, too, that customers aren't choosing to put in generators. I'm just trying to understand better why we have so few. I understand you do have low prices, which is good, but we only have one customer on this, you know, at the present time. And I understand you're trying to make it better.
And Commissioner, that is part of what we're trying to address here. We've had more customers on throughout the history of Rate 39. Some of those customers simply, their operations are such they have a generator in place, but they really can't withstand an interruption. Their process doesn't allow that interruption. It doesn't work well with their process. But by going to a Rate 38, which we think is more targeted toward that peak capacity, again, limited to 100 hours, we believe that there is the potential then to broaden that. It's going to be a more marketable rate. So that's part of what we're trying to do with this. With regard to DSU or other customers that have been on the rate in the past, there's a lot of history behind Rate 39, and I think we're trying to focus in on what's providing a benefit to our other customers, and at 150 hours, Rate 39 would not.
And with the other, to me, the big picture on this is that in a time when companies are coming to the commission and saying we need additional generation, then this is the opposite piece that we use. And this is one for industrial customers where you have significant load. And so you say to yourself, well, are we setting up a tariff that's going to facilitate demand-side management here? So because we compare the cost between building new generation and the cost of that new generation versus what it's going to cost to provide demand-side management so that additional generation doesn't need to be purchased. So I'm trying to look at the big picture here and make sure that whatever the commission puts in place fits into that big picture and is not just viewed as an incidental piece that doesn't really relate to resources that are needed for customers as we move forward.
And, Commissioner, we do have several customers that are interested in this new Rate 38. And that was our goal in proposing that rate. And there are customers that do see benefits under Rate 38 and are anxious for that peak demand response rate to be approved.
Would you say that Rate 38 is less controversial than Rate 39?
I don't know. I don't know in what context. I would.
Okay.
Could I address one of your?
Yes.
You had asked what the difference.
Tell us what your name is, and if you'll come right up here so that you can sit right next to the.
My name's Mike Fry with Energy Services Group. I think one of the big differences is why customers in other utilities like Xcel's interruptible rate are more interested is because they have a lower demand number. MDU's demand requirement is 500 kW. Xcel's North Dakota is 50 kW. So that's a huge difference. Why you need you have to have so much use to be even qualified for this rate, whereas Xcel it's 50, which is a tenth. So that's probably one of the big differences.
And how would you explain that?
I can't. I know that's how they've established it. We work with Xcel in North Dakota and Minnesota with some of our clients, and Xcel seems to be more willing to bring more customers on this rate. So that's possibly why they've lowered that demand number from 250 kW. So I don't know the history of the rate.
Yeah,
but
Mr. Frey, can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do?
Well, the consultant that Mr. Binstock referred to from DSU is Energy Services Group, which is who I work for. We also are working with the state capitol on their performance contracting and a couple of other clients that are interested in this rate, which is why I'm here today, why DSU's on the phone. The generators at the Capitol installed just to the north up here, that was part of our performance contract with the Capitol. And so by installing those generators, they were able to qualify for rate 39. And the savings that we had calculated to pay off those generators to meet statute under the performance contracting measure worked under the existing rate 39 historical hours of interruption. Once they go to the 500 hours of interruption, we lose those savings. Therefore, they lose the payback, essentially, for their investment.
And are you able to tell us how many hours they have calculated they needed to only be restricted in order, or is that confidential information?
I don't know what the exact hour is, but it's closer to the 100 hours that they're proposing under rate 38. Difference is the savings in rate 38 aren't the same as what the existing rate 39 is.
I feel like I'm missing a piece here. I'm not understanding exactly right. I thought under the current rate 39, it's unlimited hours available for interruption.
It is, Commissioner.
It is.
Okay. And under the revised rate 39, it's limited to 500 hours of interruption.
Yes.
So what would the concern be? Well,
that's somewhat what we're struggling with. The existing rate, if we left it today.
If it's unlimited right now, they could go 1,000 hours of interruption, right?
And when we calculate our savings, it's based on the historical number of interruption. Going back to 1990, the greatest number of hours of interruption is 350 hours. There are many years where there was absolutely no interruption.
And see, I think what they're, from what I understand from what the man said from Dickinson State, is that they're concerned that MDU is choosing to interrupt them now in order to sell the power. In order to sell that power out onto the market?
No, we're purchasing that for our other customers. That's the loss of the AVS contract brought with it a loss of energy as well as capacity. And we're purchasing significant amounts of energy on the market to serve our customers, so to continue to serve under rate 39 at a loss, if you will, it doesn't make good business sense and doesn't make sense for our other customers. So, you know, as we've talked about, historically those hours have been less, and we have advised customers as they looked at this rate that because it was unlimited in nature, we expected those hours of interruption to increase because we knew we were losing AVS. Mm-hmm. So that these are not, we are not interrupting. We have never interrupted customers under this rate to make a sale.
Okay.
That is not our business policy.
They didn't seem to understand that.
Dickinson. I think.
Maybe I should ask the man from Dickinson State. Yeah. Did you indicate in your comments that you thought that they had interrupted you last year in order to make a sale of electricity?
No, Madam Chairman. What, as I understand it, what basically happened is that we're interrupted so that we generate our own power.
Yes.
As a result of that, the remainder, correct me if I'm wrong, but the remainder of the MDU customers operating under, I believe, rate 30, then were benefiting from those kilowatt hours that we were essentially producing and or that MDU would have been providing us in lieu of us producing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Are there any other comments that anyone like to share on this tariff? Anyone else in the room? And then we have comments from staff. Jerry, would you like to go through your discussion with us of what the staff has filed on this particular these tariffs?
Sure. Thanks, Commissioner. When I looked at this, I looked at it first from establishing a new rate and then from what we're doing with the existing rate. And for the new rate, I wanted a rate that was based on the costs that are avoided by the interruptions that would be made. If you pay more for the interruptions than you do for the supply side generating capacity that it would have taken on the system not to interrupt them and the fuel to run those generators, then everybody ends up paying more for the electricity. So really it should be capped at the level of the supply side alternative. And so that's what I looked at rate 38, and I compared then to the purchase contract that MDU just executed with NSP for a peaking capacity purchase. It's meant to bridge over until they can get a new plant online to take the place of, it's not taking the place, but to help them get past the loss of the AVS2 contract. So I looked at the numbers, and there is a trade secret request pending on those numbers. So I didn't give the numbers in the memo, but I did say that with my analysis, the sum of the avoided energy costs and the avoided capacity costs under the NSP contract still don't add up to as much as the discount is being offered under rate 38. It's pretty close. Well, let me rephrase that. It's pretty close if you assume a pretty high price on the avoided energy costs, and I think that I was a little bit, I said 10 cents a marginal cost kilowatt hour minus the 3.25 cents that of revenue they would have collected from selling that kilowatt hour to the customer, it came to about $7 a year, and I thought it was kind of liberal. There are times when MISO market prices are higher than 10 cents per kilowatt hour, which is $100 a megawatt hour, but I think they're probably lower than that most of the time. So my recommendation then on 38 was that that's a pretty reasonably close approximation of what the cost would have been to serve those customers from a generating resource. Under rate 39, what I was really looking at was trying not to change it too much, but yet not, well, I think that rate 39 may have been overly attractive for some years, and there was kind of a getting used to that went on in the system. And this stuff was all proposed back in 2005, and there's been a struggle to get to the point where we're at now with it. Tammy keeps alluding to the history of Rate 39, and it goes way, way back. But the bottom line with that is that the demand charge is only 2 1/4 a kilowatt, and the energy charge was 2 point some cents too, and 2.722 cents. You really can't buy energy, at least not on peak, in the MISO market for 2.722 cents. The demand charge of only $2.50 is really low by today's standards too, compared to the Rate 30 charges, which I believe are $5 and something in the winter time, and $7 something, or is it $8.25 in the summertime. That's a discount off of those numbers down to $2.50. That's like twice the discount that you're getting off of Rate 38 proposal, which I thought was roughly reasonable. So I guess my feeling on Rate 39 was to bring the hours of interruption down too far was like giving away too much without changing the numbers a little bit more. I didn't really want to change the numbers. Yes, that was my feeling. So that was the staff's analysis and the recommendation to go forward with this proposal is also kind of stemming from a lack of anything better.
Do you have any thoughts about, we had one customer here talk about how in other utilities they offer this at less than 500 kilowatts.
I didn't look at that.
And that it's offered in some utilities for customers who can curtail 50 kilowatts.
And they weren't proposing to change that limit from what it was before, and so maybe I could have and should have thought about that, but
maybe
no,
we
I didn't
could
look
ask
at
them
it.
To submit some information to the commission regarding the justification for the 500 kilowatt number versus having a lower number, and whether anything would need to change if that number were lower.
And we will do that, Commissioner.
Thank you. And so that everyone can take a look at that information. Are there any other questions that anyone in the audience wishes to have the commission get on the record that you would have for MDU or for the commission? Are there any further questions anyone would like to have on our record? Anything you'd like us to examine?
You know, I did have a question that was coming up just to mention it. We were talking about MRO penalties, and I was thinking that those come under the MAP generating reserve sharing agreement that's still, I think, administered by MAP. So is it MRO that issues that penalty, or is it coming from MAP?
I believe it's the MRO that
is it. Maybe I'm
the penalty.
Okay.
It's something essentially to check on. the MAP reserve sharing group. But we still refer to it as the MAP penalty, which I could have put in there.
Okay.
We all call it the MAP penalty. But.
Okay. All right. Then that being the case, if there aren't any further questions, we'll close the informal hearing on case number PU05504. And we thank you all very much for your participation. It's been very helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Then let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for case number PU06491. So you can shut off the tape if you want, or you can leave it going, whatever.
I got to pause. Or no, I'll shut it off.
You know,
that's very great. been that.